His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning in Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream, which is coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and it's my divine privilege to be hosting this segment called Morning Glory. We are coming to you from the Radio Sai station, Radio Sai studios rather, here in Prashanthi Nilayam, where the time right now is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And let me remind you that the countdown has begun on the most important event in the Sai calendar worldwide. Meanwhile, thank you for staying with us on this pleasant Thursday morning, November the 2nd, 2017. Prashanthi Nilayam is really quite pleasant right now, as the temperatures have been dropping since Diwali. This week, our average lows are in the teens, around 18-19 degrees Celsius, and daytime highs are barely 26 to 28 degrees Celsius. It's a sunny morning here in the ashram, but every now and then we experience a complete cloud cover over Mr. Golden Sun. That phenomena, I think, is a ripple effect of the weather disturbance in Chennai and area. Traffic this morning in downtown Puttaparthi is quite normal and smooth without any hiccups. Thank God for that. We just don't like that honking and traffic jams outside our peaceful ashram. So things are moving well this morning. Inside the ashram, of course, the traffic is always silent and orderly because we have a no-horn policy in effect. And guess what the maximum speed limit is for driving inside the ashram in Prashanthi Nilayam? Between 5 to 10 kilometers per hour. So if you're ever in our part of town and you're driving, don't you even think about risking getting a speeding ticket from our Seva Dals by rushing around in the ashram. This is a very peaceful place. Inside the ashram, inside Prashanthi Nilayam, the pedestrian is the king and has the right of way always. Don't you just love that, especially in a country where people drive so rough and shoddy in the cities? Let's now move on to what's making news at this hour in Prashanthi. The abode of Supreme Peace is all charged up for the upcoming series of celebrations. So many, all lined up. Global Akhanda Bhajan, Ladies' Day, the International Veda Conference, Convocation of the Satya Sai University, and of course the most important festival on Sai calendar, the 92nd birth anniversary of our beloved Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba on 23rd of November 2017. Dear listeners, do brace yourselves for quite a celebration during the week of the Divine Birthday as hectic preparations are going on for this special event. We hope you're joining us here in Prashanthi Nilayam for the birthday celebrations. And if for some reason you're not able to make it, don't lose heart. Please join us virtually through Radio Sai. We will bring you the live webcast of all the major celebrations right here in at radiosai.org on the homepage. Now let's talk about the delectable menu we are serving you this morning on Morning Glory. Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Siddharth Bhatt coming up soon. He's in conversation with my colleague Mr. Bishu Prushti. But first, I have a question for the listeners of Morning Glory. All those with the right answer will have their names announced right after this interview. Please email me the answer to the question for this morning. And when you send me your replies, please remember to write your full name, your city of residence, and send it to me at karuna@radiosai.org. That's my email ID, karuna, K for kite, A for America, R for Russia, U for umbrella, N for Nancy, A for apple. KARUNA at Radio Sai is one word, RADIOSAI.ORG. Now, what is the question for this morning? It's a fun question. Where's the party tonight? I mean, tomorrow night. That's my question, seriously. Yes, you heard it right. We are going to be beginning the grand 92nd birthday celebration by holding a golden jubilee celebration at one of the most iconic Sai institutions in this country, in the heart of India's financial capital. I want to know from you, who is celebrating their golden jubilee celebrations tomorrow night in a very big way, and that kind of flags off, it's a curtain raiser to the 92nd birthday celebrations. And I will be waiting to hear from you which iconic Sai institution or Sai hub in India is going to be celebrating its golden jubilee tomorrow night. I will wait for your answer, and I will announce all your names after this interview, part one of Fleeting Moments with Mr. Siddharth Bhatt, in conversation with my colleague Bishop Prushti. Have a listen, and please send those answers in. So, where is the party tomorrow night? The party to celebrate the birthday boy's 92nd birthday, and we are starting with this divine celebration in an iconic Sai hub, which is not in Prashanthi Nilayam, okay? So that's the only clue. It's elsewhere in India. Where in India? Which place? And your answers, I'm waiting at karuna@radiosai.org. In the meanwhile, here is part one, of Fleeting Moments with Mr. Siddharth Bhatt. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today, Swami has sent to the studios Brother Siddharth Bhatt from Mumbai. Siddharth's story is amazing. Right from the moment he joined the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in 1995 for his 11th, after 10 years of schooling in Mumbai where he was born and brought up, to his admission in the Bundavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his BCom honors, to him securing admission in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus for his Masters in Financial Management in 2000, every step of the way, every step of his journey was visibly, physically, palpably guided and directed by Swami. In fact, his life is a saga of how you leave, how when you leave everything in God's hands, you find God's hand in everything. That is, in Samam Bonam, the story of Brother Siddharth Bhatt. And that holds true even after he left the portals of Bhagwan's educational institutions, after basking in his divine physical proximity for 7 years and more. His first job was in Jet Airways, but quite miraculously, few months into Jet Airways, and he was picked up by Tata Motors, and he served there for 4.5 years. And even as he was serving there, something else opened up in Edelweiss Capital, and he joined there as an equity analyst. But Swami again lifted him from there and put him back in Tata Motors, now in a much bigger position. He was now doing market research and doing the Tata Motors strategy. And he was now with a team working directly under the managing director of Tata Motors. This happened in 2014. And this was that phase in life where, as he was getting this valuable experience of driving strategy in Tata Motors, Bhagwan decided to raise him even higher. And things moved in such spellbinding, speechless fashion that in 2015, he found himself working now in the office of the Tata Group Chairman. He was now part of the team reporting directly to Mr. Cyrus Mistry, the then chairman of Tata Sons. For those unaware, the Tata Group is India's biggest business conglomerate, with over 30 publicly listed companies earning a revenue of over $103 billion and employing over 600,000 employees. and perhaps he at that point in time was among the youngest members in the Tata Group chairman's team. In just 13 years, he was in a position which normally anyone would perhaps take 25 to 30 years to reach, provided you have the talent and the competence. But Siddharth, along with talent and competence, had the most important element needed for success, and that is divine grace. It was sheer, a beautiful stream of divine grace. Again, quite interestingly, Swami brought him back to Tata Motors from Tata Sons office in 2016, and it might look like it was a demotion, but now Siddharth knows how it was only a promotion, because when you have the divine with you, it is never demotion. It is always only devotion and promotion. And just at the right time, Bhagwan put him back into the Tata Sons office. So now, since April 2016, he's working as Senior Consultant, Group Strategy and Practice in the office of the Tata Group Chairman. Many devotees would know that the legendary chairman of Tata Sons, Mr. Ratan Tata, had visited Prashant Nilayam many times, and in fact, he was there in the last mega celebration in Prashant Nilayam in the physical presence of Bhagwan in 2010, the 85th birthday celebrations. And the current chairman, Mr. N. Chandrasekhan, also has come to Prashant Nilayam a number of times. In fact, he was there during the 90th birthday celebrations. He spoke to us on the camera about the Vidyavahini exhibition held in the Purnachandra Auditorium, and we have had many executives from the Tata Group of companies who have come to Prashant Nilayam and who know Bhagwan, who have great respect and love for the work that the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust does. So Siddharth considers himself really blessed to be in this company, blessed to be always connected to Bhagwan in so many ways every day, as he opens up new connections, he opens up new dimensions. And today, as he grows through life, he sees and he experiences how Swami continues to connect the dots every day. Every day, every moment, every instance is something which he has not planned, but the divine ordained it. And when he looks back, he feels that it was all a play of the divine. And you know that all you have to do is just leave yourself completely in his hands. And that is when you begin to see his hand in everything. So that is what is the life of Siddharth Bhatt. And I'm really grateful to Bhagwan for sending him to the studios today for this episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Today is a Thursday, July 13th, 2017. We just finished the Guru Purnima celebrations. This is the time of the year when you have new students joining the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Siddharth has his own story of how he became a Sai student, how he dreamt of becoming a Sai student, and how Bhagwan took him to his fold in a manner that he can never ever forget in his life, in a manner that is always etched in his heart to continue to inspire him. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan for arranging this episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. So a warm welcome to you, Brother Siddharth Bhatt, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sairam to Brother Bishu, and Sairam to the wonderful Sai family that we have across the globe. The introduction was wonderful, and probably it made me quite emotional because I actually saw the entire life fleeting in front of me. And I will not say fleeting. I think that's that, if with permission, the moments remain etched as it is.
The memories are always lasting.
Always last. And these are the memories which, even before I begin, I would like to say that I would like to give a disclaimer that I'm just an instrument narrating an episode of a personality called Siddharth Bhatt. It's a name and form which is given by Swami himself, and I'm just narrating, that's all. So let us look how Swami's hand is in the entire saga, then what Siddharth Bhatt is all about. And today is a very, very, very special day personally in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being today is the 24th or rather 25th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of my first ever talk in Kulwanthalin Prashandalayam.
Oh, wow.
So 24 years complete and 25th year begins today.
Silver Jubilee.
Yeah, it's
of
a silver
standing
jubilee.
Next to Swami and talking about his glory.
Yeah, so it is exactly 13th of July 1996 when I spoke in front of Swami. That was the first ever speech in my life, anywhere. So it's not just Kulwanthal, anywhere, and it changed my life completely. I will come to that probably in the due course.
No,
as
I
we
think let's go with that because that's something so interesting. 25 years ago, you spoke in the Divine Presence, and today, now, you are speaking in the Divine Presence, and you are going to talk about His glory. You're going to talk about, again, His love. What has shaped you all this while, in this 25 years, is what we are going to discuss today. So, let's begin from there. Talk about that day.
Okay, because there are a lot of things even before that that happened.
We'll come back to that later.
Yes. So, and it's a Thursday, and maybe just one more episode if I can narrate before I jump into this.
Sure.
Before I came to Prashandalayam in this visit,
mm-hmm.
I had prayed to Swami that I should get chance to, you know, share whatever Swami has blessed with the boys in the
mm-hmm.
hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that this kind of an opportunity will come when you ask something to Swami and He magnifies it manifold.
Yeah.
And He says,
why only boys? Boys. Swami says, speak to the entire world.
So this just happened to be that way. And that is one episode. I can go on narrating this so-called coincidences in life. And my favorite line on this is, coincidence is an event
yes.
where God chooses to remain anonymous.
Yes.
So in our case, obviously Swami. So
yes, in our case, Swami is not anonymous. Swami is there, right on our face, bang.
So
on our, you can see Him. It is that's why it is no more coincidence. It is only coincidence. Yeah.
Great. So okay, that's a new definition I learned today. So that's how the saga has been, more so in the last 3-4 years, mm-hmm. which I'll come towards the later part. Today was a day when on 13th of July 1996. The reason why I ever spoke,
mm-hmm.
you know, took the step of speaking was not to actually speak.
Mm-hmm.
The public speaking was something which I was extremely scared of.
Really?
So I used to like, moment you announce an allocution competition, I would be near the gate, not to be seen near the hall as well. So that was my background when I came to Prashandalayam, and n number of allocution competitions happen when you're in school, and mm-hmm. I was never to be found anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be, because that's how my background was. But then somehow, 1996 was a very special year when Swami announced to the public that I'm going to give discourse every day.
Mm.
And yes. that was the time when Swami always likes a couple of boys to speak before Him. And they made an announcement in the hostel that, you know, Swami has asked boys to get ready and whoever wants to speak can give their names. So every day one university or institute student and one school student. So I was in school then. So I gave the name to authorities, and they benevolently returned on my name. But I had, this was in my 12th standard when mm-hmm. in 96. 95 when I joined, I had a terrible time in public speaking in the school itself when somebody mm-hmm. by mistake gave my name for pick and speak, and I ended up speaking nothing in those 3-4 minutes that was given.
So what happened? You didn't speak at all?
Yeah, in my 11th standard when I joined, okay, I'm just jumping little 1 year behind just to give a context. In my 11th standard when I came from Mumbai. So
yes.
people have general feeling that Mumbai people can speak anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, you would think that they are speech smart.
So only when we come here we realize how dumb we are. So when that happened, one of my senior boys or student in 12th standard, in school we have houses. So
yes.
there was Satya House, Dharma House. So Satya House leader, the senior of mine, thought that, you know, since I come from Mumbai, I should be a good speaker. He assumed by his own means, and there was no interaction between me and him about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I find my name in the pick and speak competition in my 11th standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, you imagine my background was, I should run away from elocution. Now it's a pick and speak is even higher version
yeah,
of
you know time to prepare.
Absolutely.
Just pick and you
just
speak.
Yeah. So that was the, And I found my name in the list. So I was not even informed that I'm part of the...
He didn't check with you?
Absolutely no. So it was just a name. And then a day before, I got to know that next day I need to speak. And so I went to him and I said, how can you give my name without asking? He said, I thought you were coming from Mumbai. I think you... I got an impression you can speak. So he gave. And he said, now I can't take back because next tomorrow is a competition. You need to speak. So I said, fine, if that is the case, I have nothing then just... go with the flow.
Yeah. I mean, so you can't even prepare for a thing like
nothing,
this.
Nothing, right? Absolutely. And no experience whatsoever. So, on that day, when the competition was announced, I was praying hard that my name should come towards the end. So, at least I get a flavor of how other people are speaking. And lo and behold, my name came first. So, you know, this is how Swami plays. He creates a situation for you to go through something for which the future is going to be even bigger. So, the very first name, and so I was just called upon and I had to pick the, you know, the chit which was given. And then I don't recollect exactly what was the topic, but I was just told to go and speak. So, there was hardly 30 seconds given to think. And for a person who has never spoken in his life and who is all the time scared, has to go and speak on a topic in 30 seconds. So, you understand what kind of dilemma I was in. And then I was given the stage and the name was announced. So, I easiest way is offering my humble salutations to beloved Swami, Sai Ram to all. So, that is standard. You don't need practice. But after that, I was quiet.
Quiet.
Absolutely quiet. Because nothing came in mind. My mind was blank. First time I was standing on the stage, there were 300 boys in front of me. There was Swami's chair next to me. And obviously Swami was, this is in school. So yes. Swami was in Mandir. But still. And on the other side, the organizer was, the one of our senior lecturers was all the time inspiring me. Come on, you can do it. You can speak. You can speak. And I was just looking at him, looking at the boys. And I couldn't speak a single word.
It
was nothing, absolutely nothing, blank. It was for 3 minutes. So 3 minutes I just stood observing the crowd.
Oh my God. So 3 minutes you just stood there?
Absolutely. There's nothing happened after that. So
oh my God.
On the other side, people are pumping me up and, you know, the Satya House leader who chose me was like, you know,
come on,
breaking his
something.
Head that why the hell I did this mistake. But that is, you know, it just a... Swami's ways are much different. He looks at past, present, future.
So it is dreadful for you.
It was very dreadful. I was sweating and that's why I said, okay, when so-called street smart people come and join, first Swami breaks down their smartness. So that was the first shot on me by Swami. So good realization. 3 minutes I didn't say anything and when the bell rang for me to end, I said, Jai Sai Ram. Those are the three words in 3 minutes. And then I came back and sat and... obviously, everybody else in my Satya house was upset because I have scored a negative point for them. And I was myself upset. And so, that was my background. And this was the entire school saw, including the principal and teachers, that how terrible I am as a public speaker. And then next year in my 12th, I happened to give my name for public speaking, that too in Prashant Kulwant Hall in front of Swami. I don't know.
How did you give a name? Where that where did the confidence come?
The confidence was not about speaking.
Oh, okay.
So, see, this is, I'll tell you the way Swami instills desire in you. Okay. So, his ways are very, very different than a standard leader. Okay, I'm going to refer Swami as leader as well, other than the divine being.
Yes. Okay.
Because we need to learn from his style of leadership. So, he doesn't tell you directly. You know, the instilling of desire was... whoever speaks, in my 11th standard when I joined, whoever speaks in front of Swami gets one-to-one audience with him.
Yeah.
So, that was enough. So,
you
I want
go and...
you go and give a rose.
Give a rose.
And then Swami blesses you and then inspires you to go and...
you can touch his feet.
Touch his feet. So, Pad Namaskar is available.
So, one photograph definitely you will get.
Yeah, one photograph you will get. You will get to... Swami will see you in your eyes, which is a rare thing.
Yes.
You get to get a give a rose.
Yes.
So, among so many thousands of people, you get at one-to-one audience, even for 30 seconds. It's a great blessing.
Yes.
So, I have been seeing in my first year, 11th standard when I was here. So, when 12th standard came in, I took a point that I need to do this. I didn't have any idea about what I'm going to speak, what topic I'm going to speak, whether I can speak. And I had even not bothered about my past in my 11th standard, how terrible I was in
so
public.
So, this desire to have that moment with Swami was so overpowering, right? So, that overpowered even all your
fears.
Fears of public speaking.
Absolutely. And not only fears, everything. Means I was facing the teachers who had seen how terrible I was, but nothing mattered. And that is how that desire was instilled. But Now coming to the practical side of it, after this emotional upheaval that I had, teachers asked me separately, will you be able to do? Because last year we saw your wonderful performance where you were Maunam on the stage. So I said, nothing doing, I want to do it. So they were, and teachers are wonderful here. Yes. I would like to mention because none of them discouraged me.
Okay.
So despite all this, they said, okay, you want to do, more than happy, but you'll have to practice hard. So they inspired me to work hard. And for 25 days, I practiced. So I wrote a speech. And what my speech was collection of a topic on surrender. Somehow, I don't know how that topic came, but it came. So surrender was the topic chosen. And I collected Swami's stories from different books.
Okay.
And made a speech out of it.
Okay. You read it on your own.
So I copy pasted it.
Okay.
I'm being very straightforward. I copy pasted it. I had no ideas of my own. So somebody said you should start with, a poem or some story. So I picked up some poem from somewhere which Swami had mentioned. So about that Marjara Bhakti and you know that
Marjara Bhakti.
Then so that surrender. So one is that cat and one is the monkey. So that story I picked up and then some examples of different devotees I picked up. So. That's how it is. Again, because my objective was not public speaking. My objective was to get close to Swami. So I made the speech out of it. I mugged it for 25 days.
Completely by heart.
Completely by heart. It's like four times in a day I used to speak.
Four times in a day?
For 25 days. So you can count 100 times I had practiced this. And then obviously people, everybody had seen me earlier. So they used to give me a lot of advices. Okay, speak in front of a mirror. So that you will know how your expressions are. So when the first time I ever took up the mirror, I was dreadful to see myself how terrible I am.
I know.
But that is how it moved on.
You became very conscious.
Yeah, I became conscious. So see, these are all things Swami puts an individual through. Not for that moment, but for the much future life that is going ahead. So, you know, is there, which he can see. So the fact that today I'm speaking to you, as of now, I have not sweated yet. I'm speaking to you with confidence is all because the root was there. So today you're seeing the flower, but that root was there. 100 times I practiced and a time came when I was a bit frustrated. I said, now enough of practice. If I don't get now, then I'll give up. So, and Swami is also, you know, he waits till you, till the last moment and see how much ever you are going to. So he focuses on efforts. Then grace flows. So an important lesson which I was learning was you have to put your efforts come what may. Then the grace will flow. So the last thing is he will take you through across the line. So that is his job. But till the reaching the line, at least we need to push hard. And nowadays even he takes us to the line. So the scenario has changed much now. But those days it was like that.
But I think in the initial days of our journey, I think that is very important. Swami wants us to know that we have to learn to earn his grace.
Yes. So that was a key learning. So it's not going to be easy.
His grace is always there, but you have to know how to prepare yourself for it, how to cultivate yourself for it.
How to get access to it.
Access to it.
So that's how the hard work was. And
but that was really fantastic. I mean, that was really serious hard work. I mean, every day, four times in a day, you're saying the speech. So 100 practice sessions is like, by any standards, it is like fantastic hard work.
So it was like that, like even if midnight 2 a.m., if you wake me up, I would have given you the entire speech. So that's a practice which I had to go through. And then one fine day, it was I think Monday or Tuesday of the week. And then the committee was there, so I spoke to the committee, some senior teachers in the school. So I told them that I think maximum I could do. Now I'm not... It's becoming a bit difficult for me to go on speaking the same thing again and again because I was getting bored of my own speech. So I said, if it is possible in next few days, otherwise I would
so
like
you to. You were seeing that others are getting chance and you are not getting
chance. Yes, it was like some people, obviously there are a lot of wonderful speakers in our, in among our boys. So they used to come forward and who gave names much later also got chance earlier and then they went through. So I was seeing that.
So I think every day when you sit in Mandir, you'll be thinking, when will my chance come? When will my chance come?
and we could see Swami, you know, smiling at the boys and the speaker and then accepting the rose. So, you know, that was my dream.
And also, the other thing also is the Swami's uncertainty. You never know whether, you know, anything is going to continue, how long it is continue, is going to continue. I mean, you had, that was a very exceptional time in 96 where Swami is giving a series of discourses.
Exactly. You never know when Swami will say, this is my last discourse, tomorrow onwards back to normal darshan.
Otherwise, only on festival day Swami gave discourse.
So that, yeah, that uncertainty was always lingering on my head, that what am I going to do, whether I'm going to get chance after all this. And a fear of failure, you know, it's not good, but sometimes it is beneficial in this situation. So fear of missing the chance, not failure to be precise. And then I requested the teachers, and then teachers were benevolent, and they realized that he has done enough. Let us give him a chance. And it was, I think, Tuesday or so when I spoke to them on Saturday. So 13th of July, 96 was a Saturday then. And they said, coming Saturday, on Thursday they told me, coming Saturday you will get the stage. So I said, great. And finally it was done. So I called up my parents and said, this is the first time ever in my life I'm going to take up a stage, that also in Kulwanthal. The parents also were getting a shock that whether you will be able to do. So guy who is to run away from the elocution competition and I'm going to speak. And 40,000 people, you know, those days, on an average, 40,000 people used to sit in Kulwanthal. So massive stage. And one thing which I would like to mention is, and it changed my mindset before the, so this was Thursday, I was told Friday, one of our senior brothers, I was just talking to him, after coming from Darshan, so going towards the hostel, and he told me, I asked him that, brother, tomorrow is my chance, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, I've done my best, whatever I could, and he gave a very beautiful example or statement, you know, which completely changed my mindset. He mentioned, see, when you take up a stage in Kulwanthal, you see the entire world in front of you. You're facing the world, but there's only one person who is with you, next to you, also facing the world.
World, yes.
And who is that? None other than Swami.
Yes.
So Swami's chair is
everybody's
obviously
opposite,
facing.
But Swami is with you.
With you. So he said, you remember this, you're not alone on the stage.
You're not alone.
God is with you. Why are you worried?
Yes.
Let the world think whatever they want. When God is with you, you don't have to be worried. And that changed my mind.
They say, when you go through life on your own, it is a race. When you go through life with God, it is grace.
Oh, very nice.
That's interesting.
So I think that's what it is. You know, you're going through life and you should know that He's there next to you. So you don't have to be worried about the race of life. And that was a very beautiful advice that senior brother gave.
Yeah, it's just like, so that completely changed my mind. And I said, yeah, I'm not alone. And when Swami is with me, why should I worry? I think, and that point which you mentioned is very important for our life, not just the speech.
Yeah, absolutely.
When God is with us, then why do we need to worry about the life itself? He takes care. And He has been of late. So there are lots to share on that as well. But coming to this point, so that changed my mindset completely. And before I went to sleep, I prayed and then went to sleep. And then 13th July morning, special morning for me, because I was all the time, that thoughts were coming that, yes, I need to remember this.
You were able to sleep?
I was a bit. Good point. I think you mentioned I was. It's you try your best to sleep.
Yeah,
the next morning is
it just keeps coming in your mind. No? You'll keep practicing the speech. You'll keep thinking how I'm going to do. You'll keep rehearsing. Okay, this is how I will go. I will take namaskar. I will get up.
it's for the, since we are talking to the entire Sai family, there are a lot of youngsters who may just imagine it's like a night before World Cup final.
Yeah.
So you don't sleep, you go through the motions.
Every possibility that can go wrong and work out.
So, and the topic was surrender. I had no choice than to surrender, to be honest. So that is how Swami practically teaches you.
Yeah.
If you have no choice, that's the only way to. And the morning came, morning classes went through. We came back to hostel for lunch. And there was a twist in the tale. The twist was our principal, school principal, his school principal doesn't stay in hostel.
Yeah.
But that lunchtime, he came all the way in the hostel, came to my room searching for me. And I was in my room, so all of us got up once, we saw him in the room coming in. And then he said, I want to talk to you something very important. So I got a little worried, and this is like 3 hours before your speech. And then he took me in a one room, I think warden's room, and he told me, see, our school is CBSE, Central Board of Secondary Education affiliated. I was in 12th standard then. So CBSE chairman is coming today to evaluate our school. So he has evaluated our classes and everything. We have invited him in the evening to see how our boys speak in front of people.
Oh my God. So CBSE chairman is going to be there
in
one day.
So, and he even said that his evaluation, your speech is going to be part of his evaluation. So if you do well, our school will get better grades, I mean rank in the CBSE, you know, list. And if you don't do well, something goes wrong, then, you know, it'll impact very adversely to our school. And remember, this is Swami school. So you own a huge responsibility.
I don't know what he was doing to you.
So imagine the situation. It's like one after another. You have no choice left than to just surrender to
Swami.
Only
surrender, yeah. Yeah.
So you are screwed from all angles in my, if I use that lingo. And there you are, in 3 hours I was there in the mandir and praying hard, because one university student, one school student, so the university student who were to speak was sitting right next to me, and he was preparing very well, like one after another. Okay, this is the experience you need to remember, this is the, you know, particular couplet you need to remember, and I had nothing in my hand. There was nobody next to me, nobody guiding me anywhere. So I was just sitting and praying to Swami that now whatever I could do, I've done. I stopped revising as well. I had given up everything. So, and when that happens, you know, then means when you've done your best and you give up everything to Swami, then he takes over. And the first sign of taking over was, I think at 3:15, 3:30, the darshan began. I had a very favorite darshan music then, you know, one of my most favorite. We used to call it Namaskar. That was the title of the darshan music.
Album, yeah.
So I used to really love that, and that used to really make me feel good. And
in those days when Bhagwan came, the music used to
Used to be there. This was like 96, much before the Vedam started during darshan time. So when that happened, moment that music began, you know, you get a reassurance.
Yes. So that was like a very welcome.
Yeah, welcome. So immediately it put me into peace. It gave me enough. It gave me an assurance that this is the moment which is definitely going to be very special.
Everything is going your way.
Yeah, it's like that is how Swami, you know, gives. Once he has given you enough trouble by making CBC chairman come and making you worry and all that, he sees you. He tests you. You know, if I can just digress a bit, there's a one nice, you know, experience or other. Swami used to always mention this, that before you hang, you know, Swami's photograph on the wall, you need a nail. So the nail has to be put in properly. And before you hang, you will just nudge the nail and see whether it is strong enough before you finally go and hang. So that entire episode earlier was, he was trying to see whether this nail is properly hit on on the wall.
Yes.
And sheer grace, it was probably, I assume that it was done. And that is how this music began. Then Swami came. Swami sat. It was absolutely reassuring that things are, you know, in control. Not my control. It was like the way Swami was controlling everything. Swami came and sat. And when the, you know, my name was announced as the speaker, another very important reassuring thing happened was, we were sitting towards the right-hand side of Swami, towards the little backside. So it's not directly in his line of sight. But Swami moved little ahead in his chair and actually turned behind to see me directly.
Oh, wow.
So when my name was announced, he turned behind. He looked straight to me. It's not he was searching and, okay, here he is. Straight to me. And then he gave a broad smile.
Wow.
So, you know, that is how reassurance
you need.
What else do you need? So the deal was signed and that's it. So Swami was to take over. And that completely made me at peace. I said, this is it. Now he has taken over. These are his signs, the way he expresses. So once my name was announced, I moved ahead with the rose.
I think with that, all tension, all fears would have just melted.
Absolutely. Yeah, he takes over. That is where he takes over. So that's where this entire saga is of surrender. You know, you offer it to him, he tests you. It's not easy. He tests you whether really you're surrender or you're just, it's a lip service. But once you are given to him and you have given up everything else from your side, then he takes over. So that smile was enough, and he had taken away all the tensions and troubles and everything. And I felt very much at peace. I had no fears left. I went with a rose and a smile on my face to him, and he was smiling in turn. And as I moved close to him, he looked at me and said, what's your topic? The first question. Before even I spoke. So I said, Swami, surrender. So then he asked me, he looked at me and said, where did you come from? So I said, Mumbai. And those days it was called Bombay. So I said, Bombay. So he just looked at me, very small half smile, which generally Swami gives very mischievously. And then he told me to take Pad Namaskar. And I, as always all boys do, I looked up to him and said, Swami, speak through me. So he just nodded his head. And I took up the stage, and the speech went on absolutely smoothly.
Wow.
With proper gaps, pauses, intonations. I'm vividly remembering this because the first ever talk right today. It's 13th of July. And I could see everybody's face very clearly. Why this is important is, when you're speaking for the first time, you are actually thinking internally so much that yes. you are, it's a blank screen in front of you.
Yes.
But here it was not that way because he had taken over.
Yes.
I can very, very, very confidently say it was his speech who spoke through me and I was actually witnessing the entire episode as if I'm just sitting there as an audience. So it went through very smoothly. By Swami's grace, again, CBC Chen was very pleased. So principal sir came and said...
Was a very severe test, actually became a testimony of his love.
Absolutely.
In the sense that, you know, you had such a huge responsibility that day. I mean, and if anything could have gone wrong, it could have gone seriously wrong with you, with the school, with everything. With the CBC chairman there. And see, look at Swami, you know, he converted what was perhaps the most traumatic experience of your life into the most triumphant experience of your life.
Actually. Absolutely. And in fact, it changed my life because now I got a confidence that I can speak. I never till now, as I told you earlier, I was like running away from the place. But now I had got a confidence. I can speak. I can look at the audience into their eyes and speak. And it's not my making. So this is a Swami who converts his students into leaders. Okay. It is completely his making. And here I remember one more statement which one of the very senior devotees once asked Swami that, Swami, you are here to transform the world. You know, transformation is his main core, Swami's mission. And you're using your boys as instruments. So such small number of boys, how are you going to change the world? There's 7 billion people around.
Yes.
And Swami just made a very profound statement to him and said, to change the world, I don't need, you know, army pawns, you know, the small soldiers. I need army generals.
Yes.
Yeah. And few generals are enough to change the world.
Yeah, Swami should say, I mean, the country is governed by just 20, 30 ministers.
Absolutely. So that is how his statement was. By mentioning this, I'm nowhere feeling that I'm something great.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting this disclaimer.
It just shows that, you know, to make a huge difference in the world, what is important is quality.
Absolutely.
Not quantity. And I think each one of us, if we walk on the path laid down by us, by Swami, laid down for us by Swami, and if we allow ourselves to be chiseled by Swami, then we will definitely become something who can do much greater good to the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is where Swami also says that this is Prashanilam or the school or the college here. It's like a garage. And so we all came to be repaired. And Swami repairs, not only repairs, but he puts additional parts which can enhance the performance.
Yes.
So that entire saga of 7 years had this kind of enhancements at different levels, which I never knew that I could do this. So this is how he instills.
Wow. So So when did you come to the garage? How did you come to the garage?
Okay. So I'm now taking one step behind.
Yes.
Even before I came to the garage, he instilled the desire to come to the garage. So that only he can do.
I understand you come from a family which is already into Swami, right?
Yes. So my great grandparents came in 1963. So then my grandparents came, then parents and now myself. So you can say fourth generation among the sequence and
so you grew up believing Swami as God?
Kind of. So that's what, like, all the time when I was born in a Sai family, so there was Swami's photographs. We still have bhajans every Thursday at home for so many years. So, and then those days, like, I think I vividly remember I was at the age of 3 or 4 when I first time came to Parthi. And Parthi was, I had no idea about who Swami was. So everybody, I used to run for Parthi, not to see Swami, but to play in the sands.
Oh.
So age of 3 or 4, I had absolutely no idea about who Swami was, and very few people, so all the sands are available for you to play. So for me, it was like a playground, and it's a picnic. So you come to Parthi, play in the sands, so all my parents,
eat
everybody,
ice cream.
Eat ice cream, joy ice cream, I think joy ice cream, I don't know whether it was there.
But you had quality ice cream.
Quality ice cream.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Ice cream, sands, it was like going for a picnic. And, I'll narrate something more, which is more funny now, but at age it was very sincere imagination I had was going to Swami or studying with Swami or living with Swami, what I used to see, white and white, you know, people wearing here. I used to imagine that people used to say these white and white people, you know, who wear this, they live with Swami. So I used to always imagine that, you know, there's a huge bed and Swami sleeps in between and there are all the children next to him. So I used to always dream, I'll get chance to be with Swami in the same room, stay with him and he will feed me and everything. This was at age of 3, 4, 5, you know. So those are the dreams of that age.
Wow.
So
it's really interesting you had this kind of dreams.
Yeah.
even when you were 3-4 years old.
So there it started. So the seed was sown that I want to wear white and white. I don't know where this boy
is. So that I can live with him.
Yeah. So the dream was I'll get to be with Swami all the time, and white is something. If you wear white and white, you will get the chance.
That's a passport.
Passport to
his presence.
To his presence. So that is where the first ever desire got inculcated, or he instilled it. That you need to. So white and white was all the time in my mind. And that's how it grew. Till, I think I was in my sixth standard or sixth class when, I got into Bal Vikas.
Mm-hmm.
And my Bal Vikas guru was extremely special. I mean, she was an elevated soul, and she realized my desire to be with Swami right from the beginning. So she all the time inculcated a lot of good things. I can even say she's like my foster mother, because most of the time I was with her after that, you know, joining her class. And she really pumped in me that, you know, she used to tell me a lot of wonderful stories of Swami. So that is how, see, Swami puts different people in your life to ensure that what you dream or what you desire has to take place. So she really put all that hard efforts in me, and she used to bring to Parthi. She used to bring me to Parthi along with her all the time. So that is how I started getting chance to sit in the front as well as Bal Vikas group. And when I was in my seventh class, first time ever Swami spoke to me in darshan. So where it was on my birthday, and then Swami just came in, and I was sitting with a tray with chocolates. There was no Kulwanthal then. It was the old ashram with
sands and coconut trees.
It was a bit next level of sand, so it had already concretized, but there was no roof on the top. So sands was in my childhood when I used to come to play, but now,
you still had the arches and the coconut trees.
Yes, arches and coconut trees. So that is where it was, and then I was sitting. And Swami came, and before he threw the chocolates, you know, that's
so he
how
threw the chocolates from your plate.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was my first ever 1-to-1 with him.
So it was thrilling when he threw the chocolates.
Yeah, it was thrilling, and more than thrilling, than he actually asked me a question. He said, he asked me, where did you come from? This standard question, which we feel standard, but eventually it has inner significance.
Yes.
So I told him Mumbai and Bombay again in those days. And then he asked me, where is your wife?
Oh.
So you imagine, seven standard, that means what, I must be 10 years or more, so 9 or 10 years age. And he asked me, where is your wife? And like, honest reply, I said, Swami, I don't have any wife. So then Swami smiled and told me, ki, when you come next time to Parthi, bring your wife also.
Oh.
and as obedient, so-called, I was, I nodded my head. So imagine that. I had no idea who the wife was, but I said, okay. And later on, obviously, I shared this, and you saw this, and means the Bal Vikas students and teachers saw this entire thing happening. So all of them flooded. They came to me after the darshan and said, what did Swami say? So I said, this is what Swami said. And everybody made a laugh that, okay, you're going to bring wife next time. And I had no idea what that wife word itself was. Till my Bal Vikas guru told me that wife, what Swami means is attachment. And attachment at that age are parents. So I said, so that means Swami, I was asking, you know, next time when you come, bring your wife, means you bring your parents as well.
Okay.
So I said, that's fine. And I had actually not come with my parents. I had come with my Bal Vikas guru and other students, Bal Vikas students. So next occasion, the very next year, I was in my 8th standard. And again, I came on my birthday. And I had come with my parents. There was no Bal Vikas guru or trip or anything. And I was sitting in darshan line. Now, darshan line, obviously, in those days, I was not a student, I was not a VIP, I was not nothing I was. So, practically what you take a chit, you request and you say, today is my birthday, so allow me to sit. So, you take a chit and then you sit in the front. So, I had got one chit in the morning for the morning darshan. I sat with the tray, as it is, with the same expectation that Swami will come and do. And darshan happened, Swami came and went, nothing happened. Swami didn't even look at me. So, morning darshan went that way. And that chit was only for morning darshan, so I was completely down and out. But then I went and pleaded, the authorities allow me to have one more darshan in the evening. At least, so at least on the day I can have second chance, and then if it doesn't happen, then it is Swami's grace. So they were benevolent enough, and they said, okay boy, you are small, so you go ahead and then sit. So they again gave me the place. Swami came for darshan, happily. He has a very beautiful neck, you know, as if though nothing has happened, there is no Siddharth existing there. He just moved ahead. As he moved ahead, my heart pounded. I literally, from within, I was shouting at him, Swami, this, on my birthday, you told me come with your parents and now or wife or whatever. So I've come with my parents on my birthday morning, you didn't see. Evening, you don't want to see. It was visible. He wants to avoid it. It's visible. He wants to avoid. So this is not done. On my birthday, you want to disappoint me. Now, I was in my 8th standard. This must be 11 years or 12 years of age.
Mm.
So, I was like really pumping from within. And as, you know, this is how Swami is. Why Swami is God? He listens to you.
Mm.
He had much gone ahead. He turned and he took steps back, came straight to me, smiled at me, took the chocolates, threw it, told me to take Padmanabhaskara and then he went.
Fantastic.
So, you still have a question mark whether Swami is God. He, only Him can, you know, can understand what your heart says. There are enough mind readers in the world, but heart readers are only one, is only one.
Wow, that's
so he reads
beautiful.
The heart. So he reads the heart and he came, and so that was my second birthday celebrated. And after that, my uncle joined, my maternal uncle joined here. So this, I'm giving you the building blocks to my entry here.
So that was a very, very telling experience, isn't it? At that impressionable age. So you now knew that if you call out, he will respond. Did that sort of get settled in
absolutely.
Your...
So because this is my personal experience, right?
Mm.
So I can always, you know, thinking is fine, but here it was heart was pumping. And I said, no, this is not done. This is not fair. So I was telling him from my heart. Now, these thoughts don't come from mind.
Mm.
There are thoughts which are full of emotions and feeling. They come from heart.
Mm.
And it was towards Swami, and Swami had taken much steps ahead, like at least some 15-20 steps ahead.
So it is very clear to you that he came only for you because he just could not resist not
anymore, yeah. So, because he didn't take anybody else, he didn't take anybody else's letter. He straight away took a turn. You know, Swami's darshan line to take, Swami to take about turn and coming behind is a rare thing. So he took a turn and he came straight to me and did whatever I just mentioned, that he gave me Padmanabhaskara and, you know, took the chocolates through it, and he had a very clear one-to-one eye, you know, he looked at me. So that was like, and he speaks through eyes, all of us know. So it was like reassuring that you asked, so I came. That was his, you know, vision to me. So it was very clear. And that's how he went. So this was... Small. The first time he instilled a desire that I want to be that white and white dress so that I can be with Swami. Then came Bal Vikas. Then came that first birthday when I was 7th standard, 10 years old, when Swami asked me about all those things. And then second birthday where he was ignoring me and then he heard my heart and then he came. And then came 8th standard. So 6th, 7th and now 8th.
In fact, I feel every birthday Swami used it to ensure that something takes birth in you. I mean, what took birth in you?
Oh, that's a very nice way of putting.
Every birthday is something so significant. And in a way, to me, it looks like he was recreating you. You know, on your birthday, he was recreating you. He really recreated you in his image in the sense that he instilled that faith in you.
Absolutely.
Because what now you have to grow on a different plane. But till now, parents had brought you up to a certain level. Your guru brought you up to a certain level. But now Swami was taking over.
Yes, absolutely.
Your birth, so, new birth, new growth.
Absolutely. So that is how he uses those episodes that only he can do. You know, thousands and thousands, millions of devotees, and he puts, everybody is a special to him.
Yeah.
So he pulls those specific moments and then puts you, you know, on his line. So came 8th standard and my maternal uncle joined Prashant Nilayam as MBA student. And so I started coming regularly to listen to his stories. And he's the first ever student I had actually met first face to face. And amazing experiences. Means if I speak on his experience, it will be another 2-hour session separately. But those experiences, like, I used to be hungry to listen to those. So my Prashant Nilayam trip was, you know, just to come and... Means even Swami's darshan was secondary, but first to listen to the experiences. So darshan is like add-on benefit. So imagine that's how... Because for that, you know, Swami's way of instilling desire that it's not just Swami, but I want now to be a student. I've seen, I've tasted his blessings on my birthdays. He has given me, as you said, he is now pulling you further. So parents are come and gone, Balyuka's guru has come and gone, but now it's the time that I have to step up. And for stepping up also, he's pushing you from behind.
He's bringing just the right person at the
right
time.
Right person at the right time. So Swami is always right and always on time. So he's then, you know, I started coming to listen to those experiences. And 2 years he was, so obviously all 8th and 9th. So
every vacation you were here?
Not even vacation, I used to create vacation. Somehow use some way or some excuse here and there to ensure that I am in Parthi to listen to the experiences. And so 2 years went past by and then I used to read his letters also. Those days there was no WhatsApp or mobile or anything. He used to write letters and he went to Kodaikanal as well.
Oh yes.
So he used to write those wonderful letters from Kodaikanal saying that I am in heaven and this is what is happening. And so, and what happened to me was, I used to read his letters 3 to 4 times. Okay, and we used to make photocopies because that is, those days, like you can't have mail, there was no mail system. So photocopies and you used to retain. And he, at times he used to send his photographs with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to literally look at his photograph, look at that experience, read it 3-4 times and start imagining myself to be there.
Yes.
So that is where the...
Just replace him and put
kind of. So, so that is where the mind runs wild. And I said, no, this is something which I would like to. So that became my goal of life. I want to be a Sai student, whatever it takes. So 8th and 9th, I even tried to see where I can join in 8th standard, though I was losing 1 year. But then my uncle suggested, who was studying here? He suggested, better you join from 11th. By the time you will be much more, stable that what Sai student means to be.
Yes.
So I said, fine. And then I waited till 10th standard got over. I joined 11th and obviously I came for the admission. And then, so once the desire is set, all the groundwork foundation is set, everything was done. Sometime in February 1995, April, May was the entrance test. Somewhere in February, I started preparing for entrance test. Even before my 10th standard board exam. So board exams...
this is more important.
Yeah, more important. So board exams are again secondary.
Yeah.
So Swami is forcing you... See, you're saying forcing with love, obviously.
Yes.
Forcing you to, choose always God above the world.
Yes.
So... I can maybe even say one more thing that I had always dreamt of becoming an orthopedic surgeon.
Really?
Okay. And the reason, the root of this was my mother had that, slip disc problem in those years and she went through a massive operation and I used to see doctors coming and checking her. So I dreamt, this is what I would like to be.
Mother.
Yeah. So I had that desire in me that I want to become MBBS, MS and orthopedic surgeon. Means though I had no idea about what an orthopedic surgeon is, but that was a dream which I had in my so-called career. And one very senior gentleman in Mumbai gave me a very sound advice. He said, if you want to apply for surgeon, you need to apply for science. So if you want to apply for science, then you will stay only 2 years with Swami. So, and after that you have to come out because MBBS course is not there. You have to move out and then 2 years is the only thing that you will get chance to be. Whereas if you take commerce, you'll get 7 years. So choose what you want. And so I gave a deep thought. It's like a change of life and change of career, everything. And everybody in my school knew that I am keen on becoming an orthopedic surgeon. And I applied for commerce. 3 days later, means it was 3 days before the application, 3 days later in February, I applied for commerce. So my parents asked, are you sure? Because your dream is to become surgeon and you are applying for commerce. It's a complete change. So I said, no, I want to stay with Swami for 7 years, whatever it takes.
Wow.
If at all something else is there, I'll see later on. But for me, Swami is topmost. Because that's the desire which he created.
Yes.
So whatever that gives me maximum time is my goal. So I made it a goal. I said, I'm applying for commerce. I applied for commerce. Today, I'm actually reaping the dividends also of that. So he takes care, once you choose God over the world and God also takes care of everything else. So I applied for commerce and then I realized what all studies I need to do for entrance. And board exam also had, was secondary to me. But one additional information, I stood 10th in my school.
Oh.
I was eligible for medical seat.
Beautiful.
But I gave up because by that time I had got admission in Parthi. And so everybody in the school was upset why this fellow moved. And they had no idea what Swami is all about. They had no idea that, I'm going for a much higher degree than an MBBS or MS.
Something that the world outside can never ever give.
Can never give and can never even realize that there is something of such a gem is, here, to be here. So I moved to... I applied for commerce, then I started preparing for entrance test. And every other, every other section of the entrance test was enough, like English comprehension, although it was easy to do it. So I practiced very well and I got good guidance from a lot of seniors Bombay students who were seniors to me. And they gave me enough guidance and I went through. But one section on quantitative techniques was bothering me a lot. So that was something which I was struggling and there were 25 questions to be resolved in 30 minutes in entrance test. So I struggled. I really worked hard, but nothing was going. And then I was also told that even if you fail in any one of the sections, then you are not eligible to go ahead for even interview. So in shortlisting itself, your name is gone. So I was a little worried that everything is good, but one paper I'm not getting through. So I said, let us put our efforts. And then it's up to Swami if he wants me to take me inside or not. So desire is there, so prayers are always there. So with that prayer, I came to Parthi for entrance test. The call letter I got was like, I wanted to kind of frame it because I got a call from Parthi. So that was the emotions I was going through. Now I have a chance to become a Sai student. So that was a craving. I came for entrance test. The entrance test happened. And during the course, all the other five sections, so four sections, very smoothly I went through. I had no trouble. And then came this difficult kind of tough section on quantitative, you know, methods or techniques. I don't recall the exact name of the paper, but it was related to quantitative. So something on mathematics. And in that 30 minutes, 25 questions to be solved. So first 25 minutes, I really put hard effort and I could solve two questions.
Only two?
Only two in 25 minutes.
Oh my God.
So I really struggled hard and I said, I put my effort. And the problem is there was negative marking. So in case I am, even one of them is wrong, answer is wrong, then there is a sure shot of failure.
Failure.
So I was on the verge of kind of failing. And then last 5 minutes, the announcement was being done that 5 minutes you have to wind up and then move. So, and 20, out of 25, 22 questions are, two questions are done, 23 are still left. So I just prayed to somebody, I said, I don't know what to do. I'm on the verge of failure. And suddenly, you know, a thought came, or rather somebody had given me, shared with me a very interesting experience. Ki if you can't do much, you leave it to Swami, and then you use the most popular, I think that was not popular then, to use Om Sai Ram technique. Om Sai Ram technique, for rest of the people who are listening, you know, I'll just explain to you very quickly. You got, for every question, there are five A, B, C, D, E options. You have to tick one of them. So, Om becomes A, or A becomes Om, B becomes Sai, and C becomes Ram. So, wherever Ram came, just tick. So, C was Ram, so I ticked C. Then, D becomes again Om.
Om, yeah.
B becomes, E becomes Sai, and Ram becomes at A, so of the next question. So, the Ram wherever came, I took tick. So, I said, fine, if that is the case, you've done everything. See, Swami is testing you everywhere. Grace is not free. Whatever I could do, I put my efforts. And when nothing worked, I said, this is the only way to clear. So wherever Ram came, I went on ticking, and within 2 minutes, it hardly takes. I didn't even read any questions. I didn't see what those answers was, nothing. Wherever Ram came, I blindly went on ticking it. And, you know, I completed all 25
questions. So you completed questions. Two questions in 23 minutes and
25 minutes, yeah. And,
yeah, and
23 and questions in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
So that's how it happened. And I gave the paper. So I said, whatever best I could do. And when I came out, there were other boys also, and they asked me, how did you? So I told them, this is what I did. And they were shocked. I said, what chance means, what kind of risk you have taken in your life? I said, I couldn't do anything else. And this is the best I could do. And I left it to Swami. Now it's up to him. So people said, anyway, the world will always tell you you're a madcap. But so be it. And it moved on. And next day, obviously, my name appeared for interview. So
were you really expecting your name to be?
No, because I was praying hard. I was neutral.
That's all. You have more faith in your prayer.
Yes. Because
what you have done.
I had done. So because I had either way no choice. So if I wouldn't have done, then the sure shot failure was there. So then it was like failure versus surrender. So you pick and choose. So obviously surrender is a better option, always. And the desire was there, intensity of prayer was there. So I left it to Swami and I was praying all the time. Then came interview. So entrance interview and, you know, panel of six people, very eminent, very senior teachers who have been with Swami for 20-25 years kind of. So they were sitting and interview was like, and obviously you prepare a lot of things.
Yeah.
What is your goal in life? What you want to do? And because they are asking you about 11 standards. So why commerce and all that? And I had actually no answer. If somebody asked me why commerce, if I say I want to be with Swami for 7 years, it may not be the right answer for a lot of people. So I was preparing, what do I tell? But fortunately in interview, nothing of that happened. They asked me that which games I like, you know, what kind of matches I watch, how do I spend my leisure time? And 1995 was a time when Shiv Sena had won the state election against Congress. So one of the persons, one of the panelists was very interested why that Shiv Sena won and what was the...
So he's asking about Maharashtra politics.
Politics. So you see, I'm sitting for 11th standard entrance test in Prashant Nilayam and we are discussing about Maharashtra state politics, which was completely not relevant, so-called not relevant, but he was probably checking my general knowledge. So he was asking me all those and towards the end I was asked whether if they give me admission, whether I'd be happy and what is my, you know, what will I do with that and all this. So that completely gave me an answer that probably I'm through. So it was very smooth, cakewalk interview. There's no hard questions. It was more like chit-chatting with peers and saying, okay, there's so games and all the sports and my likes and dislikes, which is everybody can answer in easily. So after this interview, I was more or less sure that I'm through. So I came out running and I told people that I feel, my heart says I'm through.
Mm.
And after 3 days, the results came, I was through.
Mm.
So I got the admission and I was on the seventh heaven because I got the admission. But the heaven was even much beyond seven because once I joined and once I inquired, I know the results, what happened in entrance, because there was curiosity to know ki where that Om Sai Ram has gone. And actually, lo and behold, I stood first in entrance test.
You were first?
I stood first in entrance test.
So, Om Sai Ram technique worked so fantastic.
Phenomenally. It's something which, it actually brought tears to my eyes. I said, what else you can ask for?
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 2nd of November 2017 and the current time in the ashram is 44 minutes past 10 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. Dear listeners, you just heard part one of a multiple part Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Mr. Siddharth Bhatt. He was in conversation with my colleague Mr. Bishu Prushti. You can catch all the remaining parts of this very interesting interview right here, same time, same place over the next several Thursdays. Meanwhile, we request your feedback to today's interview with Mr. Siddharth Bhatt. Please send us your thoughts, comments and suggestions by email, and our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. And now I'm delighted to announce the names of the listeners who got the answer right to my question this morning about where is the big celebration tomorrow night to flag off the entire month of joyful service and holy acts to mark the 92nd year of the Divine Advent. The correct answer is Sri Sathya Sai Dharmakshetra in Mumbai, Maharashtra is celebrating its golden jubilee, and tomorrow there will be a grand function to mark this special occasion. And the following listeners of Morning Glory got the answer right, and I congratulate all of you. That these include Dr. Nagraj K.R. Chennarai Patna from Hassan, Karnataka. Thank you, Dr. Nagraj, and you are right. Brother Devendra Kumar, congratulations. Rekha Loknath from Mysore, Karnataka. Thank you, sister. Mrs. Padmavati from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. And she said she guessed it and then she Googled it. Appreciate your honesty and thank you for participating. Shashita S. Shettigar from Mumbai. Shashita S. Shettigar, I just realized your initials are SSS and you had to have the answer right. Congratulations. Brother Shravan Kumar from Sri Sathya Sai Vidyavahini. Very nice to hear from you, brother. Although you did not state your geographical location. Sai Sudha Shashi Kumar from Mumbai, who also says that we are all invited to the celebration. Thank you, Sister Sai Sudha. And we wish all of you, because Sai Sudha is in Mumbai and I'm sure she's an integral part of the celebration, please enjoy on our behalf as well. Mr. Sandeep Rao has also written to us. Thank you. Congratulations to you. And finally, from Hyderabad, Mr. Vijay Sai Santapuri. Thank you, Vijay Sai brother. And very nice that all of you could guess that we are actually going to have a huge celebration tomorrow night at Sri Sathya Sai Dharmakshetra at near Mahakali Caves in Andheri in Mumbai, Maharashtra. And if any of our listeners are in that area, on behalf of Dharmakshetra, I take the liberty of inviting you. Please, we are all one family. Go ahead and join the celebration because it is open to all. Everything that we do under the banner of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba is open to all. All are invited. So you can go up and look up on the on Dharmakshetra's website. All the program is given and a number of senior trustees from the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust are going to be part of the celebration, as well as the much loved and admired Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group is going to be there. So there will be a fantastic musical program tomorrow evening at Dharmakshetra, something you would not want to miss. And you know, the power of listening to music when it's being presented live is spectacular, because When you're physically present, you can feel that energy. So if any of our listeners in the Mumbai or surrounding areas, in Pune, anywhere else in Maharashtra are listening, I am inviting you on behalf of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and the Dharma Kshetra team. I'm taking the liberty of extending a loving invitation to you. Please go ahead and join the celebrations. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. And you will be transported to a very, very special place in your heart and your mind if you join the celebrations tomorrow. With that, dear listeners, because all of us love Sai music, I'm going to take your leave and bid you Jai Sai Ram and wish you an some awesome day ahead, and I will leave you to enjoy some very beautiful pieces of music which are part of our audio special. And the voices that you will hear in this music, in the songs, are some of the voices that are traveling to Mumbai as we speak to be part of the celebration there tomorrow. Thank you for your company and have a great day ahead. Right after this important message, you can enjoy the music. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram. Om Shri Sai Ram. Here is an important announcement. Shri Satya Sai Archives is a state-of-the-art facility built with the objective of preserving the precious messages of Bhagwan Baba for posterity. These are audio recordings such as audio tapes, spools, cassettes and gramophone records, video recordings such as VHS, SVHS, Hi8, Mini DV and HDV tapes, Betacam, DVCam, Big and Small, DigiBeta, including 16mm and 8mm films. Also images, photos and negatives, color and black and white, and manuscripts, letters, articles, poems, songs, etc., all written exclusively by Bhagwan Baba. Currently, we have a very impressive collection of the above. Many of them have been donated by devotees. Before preserving these items in the custom designed vaults in the archival building, they have been digitized. This facilitates content access in electronic form and helps in spreading the message of Swami. Very few organizations in India and abroad are able to undertake this digitization work, as the necessary technology and equipment needed are no more available. With difficulty, few organizations have been identified who are willing to undertake this digitization work. This digitization work has been entrusted to Radio Sai Division. It is possible that many devotees may have in their personal possession some or all of the above items. This is to appeal to such persons to provide access to such assets for us to digitize the same. If they so desire, we could also retain them for long-term preservation with due acknowledgement process being followed. Kindly get in touch with the following for further clarification and details. Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, Director, Radio Sai Division, Sri K. Chakravarti, Member Secretary, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Sagari nire sadani sagamadamare. Sagari nire sadani sagamadamare. Sagari nire sadani sagamadamare. Gama padava, gama padama, sagapa, gama nidani, sadani paragamani, gama dani 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 da, gama dani 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 da, padava baba, sari dani da, padava baba, gama dani 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 da, padava baba, sari dani da, padava baba, nida baba, gama dani 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 da, padava baba, sari dani da, sari da baba, dani gama dani 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 da, padava baba, sari dani da, padava baba, sari da baba, dani da. Bhavastambha sutramu Bharatvajas gotramu Bhavastambha sutramu.
పస్తంభ సూత్రము భారద్వాజస గోత్రము సకల దేవతారూపము రత్నాకర వంశము సాయి బాబను నీవు సాయి బాబను నీవు జీవుల ప్రోచే దేవుడు నీవు పరిధిలో వెలసిన సత్యము నీవు జీవుల ప్రోచే దేవుడు నీవు పరిధిలో వెలసిన సత్యము నీవు పాపస్తంభ సూత్రము భారద్వాజస గోత్రము పూసల కుక్క పుల్కి పల్కెగాని నీటు మాటల కోటి నేరడితడు నీటు మాటల కోటి నేరడితడు పూలన్ని తెచ్చి పూజలు చేసిన మెచ్చుకొనడు మాసాయి శాంతిదాయి మాసాయి మనసిచ్చితను ప్రేమ మాటలాడు నిదాని మనసిచ్చితను ప్రేమ మాటలాడు నిదాని పూర్తి మాటలు పలుకడెప్పుడు పూర్తి మాటలు పలుకడెప్పుడు పాపస్తంభ సూత్రము భారద్వాజస గోత్రము ప్రణయదార్చట తాను తప్పగ చనుగారి ప్రణయదార్చట తాను తప్పగ చనుగారి ఎదుటి తప్పుల బాబా ఎందలేడు కళ్ళ కపటాలు తెలియని అందరి వాడు ఎల్ల జీవుల తనవలేంచువాడు కళ్ళ కపటాలు తెలియని అందరి వాడు ఎల్ల జీవుల తనవలేంచువాడు బాబను నీ
ओंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूर्त अर्जुनी से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच।
Let's go.